So I'm really excited because it's wonderful when the Holy Spirit confirms what you're preaching about through the various prophetic words and scriptures that are brought. And this morning, I want to look about the subject of spiritual gifts and how God wants us to be using the gifts that he's given to us and how we can be increasingly more effective in using the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. So the title of the message this morning is Don't Compare Yourself to Others. God wants to use you. Don't compare yourself to others. God wants to use you. I don't know about you, but it's so easy to look at other people and think they're more gifted, they're more able, they're more special, they're more holy, they're more equipped than me. So therefore, of course, God wants to use them, but really, God can't use me. And so often, we can discount ourselves from doing what God wants us to do. But you know, it really, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but when you know, you hear one word from God can change everything, that is actually true. A word that is spoken in season into a situation, just one word from God can change everything. And there's nobody here that cannot hear God speak to them. And there's nobody here that cannot deliver. If you're a Christian today, there's nobody that can't deliver one word from God. And so I want to encourage you this morning to say, don't compare yourself to anybody because you're unique. Yes? Why don't you just look at the person next to you? Say to them, you are really unique. But we are. Each and every one of us has a different journey. We've got different spiritual experiences. But you know, you are able to be used by God in a variety of different ways. So don't discount what God can do in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You might think, oh, I can't preach. You might think, I can't prophesy. You may think, I can't preach. But there are lots of things that we can do. We can be hospitable. We can reach out to others with the love of God. There are many things that we can do. And the Bible says, actually, if I have all the words and I give everything that I have to the poor and I do this and I do that, but I don't have love, then I am nothing. You know, we put particular emphasis on some gifts as being particularly special. But the Bible talks about, doesn't it? It talks about the body and about the different gifts and how they work together and how sometimes we don't even recognize some of the very small parts and elements, but actually some of them are the most important. And so I want to look at spiritual gifts, what they are, why do I have gifts? Why does God want to give them? And so this morning I want us to understand we're coming from a viewpoint of that all of us have been given gifts. Everybody say, yes, Steve. Not in a position of, is God going to give me anything? We're coming from a viewpoint of, actually, God distributes and gives gifts to his children. So do you have gifts? Yes, have you been equipped?
Yes, Steve.
But you have. You've had so much invested in you. And if you're a child of God, there is so much in you that you don't even know that you've got. So much to give out. And that's why I want to encourage you, whether it is a ministry in the church, one to another, whether it's ministering or going out into Horsham, whether it is going on an aeroplane and going to Ireland, or whether it's going on an aeroplane and going to Brazil or to India, wherever it is, I want to encourage, you know, because the Bible talks about how he's given the nations to us as Christians for our inheritance. I mean, that's a big vision. But actually, that is, it's not, yes, of course it's about Horsham, but equally, there's a big mission and vision that God has got for us as Christians. And stepping out in faith and And I tell you, I have been there. I travel, I go to various countries. I tell you, it's not just because I go to these things, it doesn't mean that I find it easy. I tell you, every time I stand up to speak, my legs are like this. People say to me, oh, no, you do it all the time. Doesn't make any difference. My legs are like this. And I'm sure it's the same for you, isn't it? Maybe your legs don't go like that. Maybe your legs don't move like that. But it's true. But actually, it's when we take hold of our fears and our insecurities and we say, despite those things, I am going to let God, even if it's one word, I'm going to let God do something through me. And it could be just a simple act of loving somebody or helping somebody. It could be preaching. It could be prophesying, whatever it is. But I want to encourage you, don't compare yourself to others and don't let your insecurities hold you back. Go for it. We've got one life. And let's live it full steam ahead till the boiler bursts, which is Ali's family's motto, full steam ahead till the boiler bursts. Let's just keep going. Let's just go until we're everything is gone. What an amazing way to live. Let's live for God. Let's take every opportunity. Let's go for God. Let's run passionately for God and for the generation that we're living in. God's given us gifts so that we can operate in the callings that He's given to us. And the first scripture I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. And it says, but, what does it say? Read it with me. But, and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Okay, could you read that? Follow the way of love and... Okay, so what should we be doing? We should be eagerly desiring the gifts. There's nothing wrong with being passionate for receiving the gifts that God wants to give. Actually, the Bible says that we should not just sit around and just say, well, whatever you want to do. I mean, if you want to give me something, that's fine. But, you know, I mean, the word says eagerly, be passionate for, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And I just want to pick up just quickly, because it talks there about the gift of prophecy. And, I think one of the reasons it talks about the gift of prophecy is because prophecy is so life-giving and life-affirming. When someone says, actually, I've got a word for you, and they give it to you, and, it speaks into a situation that you're going through, or it just quietens an area of unrest in your life, or it just brings security to an unstable situation. How amazing is that? You know, that's the power of prophecy, of what God can do. And I think that it's life giving, and we have the privilege of having a lady who is being used within 412 and further afield in other churches, a lady called Val, who's coming in November, who God really has gifted in prophecy. And she's coming to do some workshops with us on the 19th. And that's open to everybody who wants to come. Anybody who's interested in finding out about, you know, what is prophecy, how does it work, how can I develop in that gift, and she'll be ministering here also on the Sunday, which is the 20th, thank you, on the 20th. And I really encourage you to come along and to maybe, you know, bring some people here, come along and... not because it's a show, but it's amazing when God uses different gifts in His church. There's a fantastic outpouring of grace. So she's coming, and she'll as I say, be with us over that weekend, and she'll be also ministering up in London in Peter Nemhart's church, and also in Haywards Heath. So just for a couple of minutes, prophecy. What is prophecy? Well, prophecy is communicating God's heart to specific people at specific times through somebody. You know, prophecy can be a variety of different things. When I was in South Africa, God gave me a picture of a hat. I thought, how odd and how strange is that, that God would give me a picture of a hat? So I thought, well, maybe there is somebody who is going to be in the meeting that we're at that is going to have this hat. So we went on Sunday morning, we went to a meeting, City Bowl. There were a couple of hundred people there, and I was preaching. And in the prayer meeting, I had one eye shut and one eye open. So now I'm looking. Is there going to be somebody here? And you know, in that prayer meeting, there was one person wearing a hat, and it was exactly the picture that I saw. So I went over to her, and I said to her, I explained what had happened, and I said, you know, after the service, we'd love to come around and pray and give you a word from God, because actually God's highlighted that he wants to speak into your life. And we had an amazing time. We got with her after the service, and we prayed, and I got with some other ladies, and we prayed, and we prophesied, and we spoke into her life. And it was not a pleasant sight. It was tears and deeply touched by God. How do you think that lady felt that God would pick her out? I thought, you know, how to get a picture of a hat I've never had that before. That is just like really bizarre. But maybe that was, and I think, you know, she said to me, as I was walking out, I felt something tell me to put that hat on and come to church. So I think even that was an encouragement for her, that she was able to hear from God, that she took that hat, put it on. I mean, it doesn't matter, forget about me. And it was for her, and she was so impacted. So, you know, that's the power, that just taking some time and just hearing from God and just stepping out. I've got a word for you, or this is what I see, or this is what I feel. You know, God wants to say, it is so powerful. And I think, you know, that's why it says, you know, desire prophecy, because it is a life-giving gift. And when we do that one to another in the church, it is so encouraging. 1 Corinthians 14 says that but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. For their what? Their strengthening. Now, I don't think there's anybody here in this room that doesn't want some strengthening, some encouragement, and some comfort. Would anybody like that? Claire, straight, yes! Me too! I want that. I want that gift spoken into my life. So prophecy builds up and it encourages. And I was looking, you know, encourage means to comfort, to appeal, to earnestly request, to offer assistance or help. And strengthening means to lift up and give hope to. Very powerful, very upbuilding. And I think the prophetic ministry now that we see, the New Testament form of prophetic ministry, is for building up people. The New Testament prophecy does not bring condemnation. It's about lifting up and encouraging. And so the gift of prophecy is a wonderful, wonderful gift. And I really want to encourage us to be open to all of the various gifts that God has for us. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12 says that God gave pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the what? For the work of the ministry. Okay, He gave gifts to the church, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers. There's another one, isn't there? Prophets. For the equipping of the saints. Who's a saint? All of us. For the equipping of the saints. You can say, that's me. Who's the saints? Yeah, Ali. Just Ali. Okay. Woo. Well done, darling. So he gives gifts to the church so that the saints can be equipped to go out and do the works of ministry. One of the things that we were in when we were in the conference, time and time and time and time again, we were told that it's not the team that are sitting on the front row that are the important people. It's all of us are part of the team. All of us are part of the team. All of us are the saints that are to be equipped to go and do the works of ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that we can say, okay, there's a need to go to Ireland, or a need to go out on the streets, or a need to do this, or something in the church, or somebody needs somebody to go and clean their home. Or it's not all preaching. There are a variety of different gifts. But it will be, if we are equipped, then it will be, yes, I will do it. Can I do it? Send me to go. I don't feel necessarily that I've got the answers to everything, but I'm prepared to step out, like that great word that Danelia brought, to step out in faith and to be used by God. But if the gifts that are given to the church are not equipping the saints for ministry, then actually the church has lost some of what it is there to do. Do you understand what I don't know if this is coming across very clearly, because so part of when Val comes is part of that, to equip us. It's not just, oh, you know, we've got somebody coming through just to kind of take up a morning of our time. This is so that we can be more equipped to go and do the works of ministry. This is about equipping. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please. It's about equipping. You know, there are lots of things that we can do with our time, and lots of things we can do with our money, but this is something that it can really be impactful for you. And I want to encourage you, you know, please do make it a priority, because it will be a great blessing to you, but, you know, it's going to equip us for what God has got. Because none of us just want to sit here and just be doing nothing. All of us want to be used, don't we? All of us want to feel that we've got a part to play. All of us want to feel that we're making a difference. And you are making a difference, but we can make even more of a difference as we, you know, follow the leading of God. So eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It is not bad to have a passion. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Okay, so, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Are you still awake? You still okay? Still with me? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. So it's not just having a gift, but now it's excelling. Wow. How can I be the greatest blessing to somebody? What can I do? How can I even, you know, bless somebody else, or really be the best that I can in the gift? You know, I really want to labor this point and encourage you that there is so much fruitfulness for us to step into personally, but as a church as well. And all it takes is just to say, God, here I am. Soften my heart. Do something in me. And, you know, as I was just preparing this, you know, it's, we can think, oh my goodness, it's so easy, it's so difficult, you know, how am I going to do it? You know, it is, let me tell you, it is so easy when we just abandon ourselves to God. It is so easy when we submit ourselves to God and just say, God, just do with me what you want, where all of our agendas are put to one side, and we just say, God, just soften my heart. Lead me in your ways. Lead me in your paths, that every day I may be led and guided by your Holy Spirit. And it's so easy when we're in that. The difficulty comes is when that we have arguments with God. But it's so easy if we're walking in that close, intimate relationship with God. You know, it's an exciting way to live. It's awesome. It's an exciting way to live, expecting God to use you and excelling in everything that he gives us to do. Have you ever said, where do I fit in to all of this? Where do I fit in? Have you ever said, do I have a part to play? Well, if you've ever said that, then I want to say to you that yes, you do fit in. You have a part to play. You're not here by mistake. There is something even greater and more exciting for you to see. Have you got 1 Peter 4 verse 10? I don't know if I put that on there. Can you do that? 1 Peter has just disappeared from my Bible. 1 Peter. Okay. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Woo! To serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Wow! What an awesome community we're going to have. And you know, I know that much of this is being worked out. You know, I hear so many amazing things about what God's doing through different people into the lives of others, which is amazing. But use whatever gift that he's received to serve others. So you're going to serve others and others are going to serve you with the gifts that God has given you. And you know what's going to happen? The measure that you measure out is the measure that is going to be measured back to you. I'm trying to teach my kids, if you give to others, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get given much back to you. They can't quite understand that, but they're getting it. Slowly. Use your gift to serve others. Every Christian has a part to play in this body. Nobody is discounted. Nobody has been rejected. Every single person has a part to play. Do you understand that? Yes. And we need every person playing their part for things to function well. So I want to encourage you. What does it say about excelling? So excel in the gifts that you've got. Don't compare yourself to others. Well, I'm not like that. Thank goodness you're not like that. And that person's not like you. Thank goodness for that. But you know, there are sometimes the reason that we don't serve like that to others is because we're comparing ourselves with other. Or is it just me? Okay, it's just me. Okay. We do. We compare ourselves and I want to encourage you, stop comparing and start to serve with the giftings that God has given to you. You know what? You will see incredible things happening. You know, what kind of church do we want to be? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. But if an unbeliever or somebody who does not understand comes in what everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. How amazing when people come into a building and they say, truly God is amongst you because the Spirit of God is moving. Why? Because the gifts are flowing. You know, we're not like corked champagne bottles. Actually, yeah. When the gifts are flowing, you know, unbelievers are going to come in and say, truly, I sense that God, in his Spirit and his power, is moving in this place. Isn't that what we want? For people to come in and say, wow, there's something different. There's something different here. There's some life here that I've not experienced anywhere else. And, you know, these are things that we value. You can go onto our website or, you know, you look in our welcome to church stuff. We talk about how important it is that we operate in the gifts, that we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to encourage us, you know, let's not forget actually, you know, what our DNA is, what we're about. We don't want to just be a people that just sit in the seats. We want to see a release of God's Spirit out through every single person. Did you hear what I said? Every single person. So not just the people that sit on the front, or even in the second row, or maybe the third row. Everybody, every single person God wants to use. John 4 verse 24 says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So to live lives that are open, to live lives that are worshiping God and in connection with God, deep connection with God, all the time. Fellowshipping with God, open to the Spirit, fellowshipping with the Spirit. That's what we want. That's what we want to see in the church, isn't it? That's where we're heading. We don't want to go back to days where we don't have any move of the Spirit. We want to say, yes, Lord, come, have your way, impact us, change us, and may those that come in say, yes, you're here. You're in the midst. Miracles are happening, people getting healed. You know, bondages and things that have been holding people back, smashed. You know, God coming and doing miracles, that's what he can do. It sounds so simple, but you know, as I was preaching in Cape Town, saying sometimes, you know, we can get to a point where we do the Christian thing without the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And we don't just want to do the Christian thing. We need his enabling. We need the life of the Spirit, don't we? To make us to be those, the Bible says, peculiar people. That we are as Christians, peculiar in a set apart, a different people. Because we're different. We are different. That's what God's called us to be. Filled with his Spirit. Filled with faith. Filled with passion. Filled with zeal. And seeing the miracles of God. You know, God doesn't want us to be ignorant of his plans to use us. And I really just want that to come across today. God wants to use every single child of his. And he's gifted you with particular giftings. Are you getting that? Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, so do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and correctly handles the word of truth. So, you know, you might be sitting here and thinking, well, actually, I don't know what God's plan for my life is. And maybe you're here and you're not even a Christian. Or maybe you're on a journey to find out actually what is truth. And I want to encourage you, and I want to say this morning that if you're on a journey, that there is only one way to find true peace and significance in life. And that is through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's revealed to us in God's word. I've tried many different things. There are many different religions and philosophies and many different avenues that the world is trying to say, drugs, drink, sex, all kinds of experiences that say this is the thing, try this. But you know, there's only one person who, when you come to the end of your life, when you leave this earth and you transition into the life after, that if you don't put your faith and don't have a relationship with Jesus, all of those other things, drugs cannot save a person. Sex cannot save a person. Being nice cannot save a person. The only person that can save you is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And he can give you peace, and he could give you significance, and he can give you hope, and all of the stuff that the world is just longing for, that they look in the wrong places. It is, and is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, he is reaching out to you to say, put your faith and your hope in him. And for us as Christians, You know, dig into the Word of God. Read the Word. Spend time with Him. Fellowship with Him. Understand, actually, what is His plan for you? What's His plan for your life? You know, part of us coming together as a community is to let God's Word challenge us, conform us, bring us to the point of wanting more in God. You know, the Bible talks much about, you know, the body. We were talking about that and showing, you know, what different gifts that there are. And it all says about every part of the body has a function, and no part should be overlooked or no part should be looked down on, because every part is there for a reason, yes? So we need the people that are willing to say, I will clean the toilets. Is that true? You might be sitting there thinking, well, I wouldn't do that. There will be some people that would love to do that. They would see that as, yes! And actually, the people that are going to clean the toilets, I think when they get to heaven, are going to get the greatest reward and accolade. Because the Bible talks about, actually, when people receive praise from men, that's their reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done for cleaning the toilets. It's what do they call it when you go to, you get in the quick lane in the passport? Fast lane. Fast track. I don't think God's going to fast track, but you know what I'm saying. Have the place of honor and privilege, because you chose to serve me with the giftings that you had. So people, and it doesn't really matter. You know, it was interesting in the conference again. We were there, we're at the pre-service meeting, and there are hundreds of guys there that could all preach, but they can only give 8 people the opportunity to preach at this conference. And they were saying about, actually, it's important, even as leaders, not to feel like, well, why is that person being given an opportunity to preach? And I've been overlooked. No, that's not. And they were teaching us, you know, that whoever we are, we've got to lay down our own agendas and our own, you know, our own self-importance. Because it's all about Him, isn't it? It's all about Him and Him being glorified and Him being honored. And you don't want to be sitting in the meeting and say, well, this guy who's preaching is really rubbish. I could have done a better job. Even, you know, as leaders, of course, the leaders are the same as anybody else. We all have issues of, well, why is God using them and not me? That's rubbish. And but, you know, those things can hold a person back if you don't have a right attitude. So even, I want to encourage you, even if you see other people being given responsibility and maybe you feel that you've been overlooked, serve faithfully in the positions that you've been given, because God is going to honor, He is going to honor you. And praise from men lasts just for a moment, but a position of honor in heaven. Wow, that's amazing. Does that make sense? Okay. Let me just finish with Romans 12, verse 3-8. Have we got that one up there, George? So I hope you're going to, we'll give some more details, but I would love to see everybody come to the session on the Saturday morning. It's between 10 and 1. We're opening it to everybody to give everybody an opportunity to come and, yeah, receive perhaps a word from God, but also to be equipped on how you can be released in affecting and transforming our community. Because this is why we're here. This is why we're here. So come. Please, come. It's morning 10 until 1. Come and be equipped, and perhaps you will get a word from God as well. And if you don't get a word, just rejoice for the people that did get a word, okay? Rejoice for them. Oh, my goodness. Right. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us, and if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. That's a good size for me. I've got to the age now where I'm reading my book and the book's getting further and further away, but apparently it is something that happens when you get to 50. Well, I'm not quite 50 yet, but I am 2 years off it, so that's good. Lots of different gifts that have been given. So I want to say, just as I'm finishing, do you have gifts? Yes, you do. Does God want to release you in those gifts? Yes. Is there anything that is anybody stopping you from doing that? I'm not. But maybe we are ourselves because we are looking at others and thinking, actually, they're a better person or better gifted than me. Does God want to use you? Yes. Has God overlooked me? Do I have a part to play? Oh, you're answering all the questions right. As a Christian, do I have gifts? Yes. So just a couple of things to finish with. Have we lost our passion and our sense of wanting to be eager for the things of God? Are we passionate for the things of God? Have I lost the urgency for God to use me? And I would say, in all of these, I'd be saying, I need more of that. I need more of that. And lastly, am I living in the complete fullness of the gifts in my life? Actually, I think probably all of us could say that we could do better, couldn't we? I could. I stand before you to say, I have not arrived. I'm a work in progress just as much as anybody else. You know, I'm excited when I hear a silly word in one sense of someone sees a hat. I'm like, I'm rejoicing. Yes! I mean, that's just so simple. I want more of that. I want more depth. I want more of everything that God's got for me. And as I said, it's not wrong to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So it's 12 o'clock. Got to finish. Should we stand? And let's have a...